Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. You know, one of the things that we get compliments on all the time is the fact that we bring on people who many people would say are our competition. But we don't really look at anybody as competition because you know what? If every single solitary financial services professional, estate planning attorney, and CPA used somebody like who we're going to be interviewing today or us or any of the other marketing and branding and PR firms that we've had on the show, the world would just be a better place. So I'm totally, totally happy. And we get to find out some other unique and cool things that other firms are doing that we're not doing that brings even more value to you. So Andrew Healy is our guest today, partner and co-founder of the Water and Wall Group in New York City. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man, I'm super excited to pick your brain here. So let's talk just a little bit about your history before we dive into what you actually do.
Okay, perfect. So I've got about just under two decades in the financial marketing and public relations industry. After college, I had the benefit of working for a specialty PR firm that focused on asset management and RIAs. That was my introduction to sort of the financial space. Got a courtside view in terms of how brands tell their story, shape it, deal with crises. I was instantly hooked on all of that and worked across a wide spectrum of places in the financial world, hopped around a little bit, went in-house to a large asset management firm. That was my first sort of, inside peek at how they're sort of navigating that world. And, for a while I'd been looking to launch my own agency and I had been working with somebody who actually hired me my first job and we got along well. We worked together well. We complemented each other very well. And in 2012, we decided to launch Water and Wall Group and take a crack at this.
Let's talk about the name. Names are something that always fascinates me as a person who, Kirk Lowe does our branding for Top Advisor Marketing. I'm more on the podcasting and social side, but it always fascinates me how he comes up with names. Where did this name come from?
So it's interesting. We talked for a long time before we actually launched the business. We went through a bunch of different names. We thought of everything. A lot of agencies in our space, and there's a ton of good ones, are named after the agency owners. It's like that just in advertising, PR, and marketing. So we wanted to do something that was a little bit different, but at the same time evoke this connection of finance and Wall Street, which is our specialty. And so we were actually downtown one night after a client meeting. We may or may not have waltzed into a pub and had a few pints. And in walking out, we found ourselves on the corner of Water and Wall Street, which is a big intersection downtown. Looked up and the name just sort of clicked a little bit. And one of us sort of threw out, well, what if we named the agency Water and Wall and kind of played with that. And that sort of stuck and we worked off of it. And it got to the point where we figured there was no turning back and that would be it. And it's a good conversation starter. People ask us about it. And interestingly enough, people not within our space or even in finance, when they hear it, they more or less get the connection and think about finance, Wall Street. So it's working there. And that's our name story.
All right. You've been doing this for longer than I've been in the business. So I'm looking to you for your sage type advice. What do you see that advisors are doing poorly when it comes to media relations, branding, marketing? I know this is a very, very overarching. Get more specific as you answer the question. But sure. What sort of things are you seeing that advisors, if you could wave your magic wand and say, God, I wish they would just do this, what would it be, Andrew?
So it's a great question. It's a broad one. I'd say the two things come to mind. First, we're always amazed how many advisors don't embark on any marketing techniques at all. We completely understand why. They're not marketing professions by trade. They're doing their thing, which is managing money and growing their business. But there are so many tools out there that can allow an advisor to get his or her story out, connect, communicate, engage, all of the things that you and your audiences and we all sort of talk about all day long, that they don't. And they don't because a variety of reasons. They don't have the time, which is a big one. They don't have the resources. They've never done it before, so they don't know where to start. They think that the referrals alone will grow the business. There's a variety of ways. But to me, it's a big lost opportunity to not even dip a toe into the water and at least try it out because there's no harm there. So, step one would be do something. And then I'd say for step two, for advisors who maybe are doing it, you know, a lot of advisors focus heavily on the services that they offer, which is understandable because that's what they're bringing to their clients and that's what they're helping with. But from our perspective, and I imagine from yours as well, it goes more than just the products being offered, which at the end of the day is a commodity. Wealth management, financial advice, all of these things are things that most advisors will offer. Just like in our world, the world of financial marketing, you know, branding, content marketing, or, you know, crisis communications, these are services many firms do. Where we're in the same similar boat in terms of we're a services business. It's just like, Matt, you're a service business. More often than not, we feel that clients hire us as much for the chemistry with us and the people we are, and do they connect and feel the passion as much as they do with the services we offer, because it's our perspective. The services we offer is just, it has to be there. That's what gets us into the door to begin with. You won't even get to first base without it. So once you get there, what's going to separate you? And there's a variety of ways that can do it, but it's the personality. It's going beyond just we offer X, Y, and Z, and focusing more on the stories. And it could be the advisor's backstory, what got them into the business. It could be a case study in a way that an advisor was able to help a client. You know, those are the stories that people connect with. We're not looking to read an advertisement anywhere. But, you know, a relevant story, some of that might strike some similarities in the case that a prospect's looking for. Those were things that we feel advisors don't do enough of, and that's the true value that they bring.
Wow. I'm going to break down at least a couple of those pieces there. The first one is value, right? How do you overcome the value objection when it comes to not just the time investment, but the financial investment into doing everything that you just said there that advisors need mm-hmm. to do?
Well, you know, it depends. Not every advisor needs a full service firm. Not every practice needs, you know, every single service under the sun. You know, I'd say the more than half of the, you know, potential requests we get, or half the folks we interact with who are maybe looking for services we could offer, at the end of the day, we're not a good fit for, because, you know, they don't need a full service agency. They maybe only need one or two services. We represent a conflict, or it's an area, you know, a prospect might or an advisor might operate in an area or a region where we just feel there's a better option out there. And that honesty and transparency is super critical. So there's a lot of criteria that need to be discussed up front. But for growing practices, ones that are looking to expand and looking to get their stories out, there's a lot of value that marketing can bring to them. And we're very honest with them. If we think that they're better suited hiring a very junior, you know, even a recent college graduate as you know, part-time or full-time to focus on them versus bringing us on board, if it's, you know, if cost is a bit of an issue, we'll tell them so. But you know, as certain practices and certain RIAs, if they become more and more interested and they're looking for more and more services, that's where the value of an agency, and, you know, comes on board. I mean, we preach to our clients that we want them to look at us as an extension of their marketing department. You know, many of our clients we've been with through multiple agencies for over 10 years. I mean, we consider them family. We see them on our personal time. It's the same thing that advisors do. It's these personal relationships. That is absolutely critical. And when all the stars align and we feel that we can add value and we think that we're a good fit and vice versa, just like an advisor is looking for a client and vice versa. You know, there's a lot of sort of it's more sort of art than science, but when it all works, that's where a nice relationship starts. And just as if we're looking for solid client relationships to continue and grow over time, advisors are looking for the same. It's that human interaction. It's that human element. You know, our services are solid, but there's a lot of good competitors in our space that are doing the same exact thing. So, you know, we need to lean on as many different unique qualities as we can. And that's one of them. Part of the reason we love working with RIAs is because we see so many similarities in our business and theirs. It's all about relationship driven. It's all about offering advice and counsel. I mean, that's really sort of what we're here for. We're here to hold their hand. It might be their brand's hand. But at the end of the day, brands are coming to us with a problem where they have a goal they're looking to execute on or to reach. We're trying to come up with cool, fun, creative ways to get them there so that everyone is moving, you know, upward and onward.
I love the personality aspect of it because you do need to make that connection, right? You do need to feel that the person you're going to be working with from a marketing, branding, public relations, messaging perspective really truly understands and gets you. And you should be interviewing multiple people and having these conversations, just like Andrew was talking about. You know, Andrew, you just said, talking about the people who hire the person, you know, straight out of college or whatever, who have their bachelor's degree in marketing. We actually created a program for that because we saw a huge need within our industry. It's called the Certified Digital Marketing Assistant. And basically what that is we train those people to do what my team does for financial advisors for a very, very low price point, because they're doing that, man. I mean, they're trying to get out of it on the cheap. But the best part about it is I don't care if they get out of it on the cheap, because once they start feeling what marketing can do for them, that's when they're going to start scaling up, right? That's when they're going to start looking at firms like yours and saying, okay, wow, we had some results with this person who just graduated. Could you imagine working with somebody who had 20 years of experience in financial services, marketing and branding, and what they could potentially do for us? And that's why I'm so excited about having you on, because of the depth of the experience of your guys and what you bring to the table. If you are trying to figure out the personality of a firm without giving away your secret sauce, Andrew, how do you even begin that conversation? Because, you know, financial advisors generally are quite linear, right? They're relatively black and white thinkers. What are some of the things that you do to warm them up to draw that personality out?
In terms of potential prospects?
Prospects or, well, no, I don't, not in prospects, in finding their brand, finding their message, finding the company's voice.
Gotcha. So it takes a lot of conversations, a lot of meetings, and a lot of discovery. You know, one of the biggest things when a brand's looking to go through some type of branding project or branding, assignment for us is we need to sort of at least get the buy-in up front that they're willing to do this. We've had instances where brands say, okay, we're looking to do a rebrand, we're looking to do this, but we didn't get the sense that they were truly going to do it. And you need to get the buy-in from the top, particularly in RIAs, which are, you know, for the most part, smaller organizations. We need to know that they're in this, they're committed to it, and they're going to give us their all. Because if not, at the end of the day, we're going to come up with the same old, you know, tired messaging in terms of, you know, offering transparency and being, you know, client focused. I mean, all of these sort of messages that most RIAs, if not all companies, are looking to tout out. So it's a discovery phase. It's asking questions. It's getting embedded. It's meeting with their vendors and partners. I mean, it's doing it. Almost like an audit, a brand audit, if you will, to truly get to the bottom of it. And the more we can do that, the more those sort of unique elements pop out where we can understand where people differentiate a little bit, what makes them tick. And that is where we start to discover the qualities they're looking to express to the marketplace. You know, certainly the services are there, which we're looking for. But even before we get to the services, we're looking to get to the heart in terms of, you know, what's the DNA of this company? What makes them unique? Why should people care? And what can we do to sort of extract that? And you know, if you take a look at, you know, the all of the RIAs that are launching, I mean, at 30,000 feet, they look very similar. Just like many companies at 30,000 feet. As you dig deeper and you get closer and closer and closer, certain elements start to pop out. It's like peeling back an onion, you learn a little bit more. Those are those sort of interesting flavors and elements we're looking to help bring to light, highlight. Sometimes it's very obvious. Folks are very self-aware in terms of who they are and what they want to be. Other times they may be a little bit skeptical. And in going through this, when we come back with our analysis and our recommendations, they're surprised at some of the things we dug up, and they get very excited about it. And at that point, it's a collaboration, and we harp on some themes and ideas and creative, you know, the different directions and what works, what doesn't. We don't always agree, but you know, two heads are better than one. It's a lot going into it. It's a lot of alchemy. But at the end of the day, you're bringing to life a unique story that represents and reflects this company well, to hopefully let them go out to the marketplace, grow their business, be financially successful, enjoy life, be happy. That's if our clients are growing and are being successful, that reflects well on us. It's sort of a win-win.
You offer so much more than we do, which is just wonderful. And some of the things that you offer are things that we've never had anybody talk about on the show. So if you don't mind, I'm going to highlight just a couple of the offerings that you have so that you can explain really what you do and why. Well, some of them, I think it's going to be understandable why it's beneficial. And one of them happens to be crisis communications. Now, that's totally fascinating to me, man. Like, how do you even begin? Where do you begin? Who do you begin with? What is a trigger? What is a crisis? Help us with that.
Right. So it's a great question. Unfortunately, there's no slam dunk answer. Every crisis is different. You know, our origins is more, you know, steeped within the retail asset management and institutional asset management space, large asset management firms. So there can be crises that pop out of, issues with specific portfolio managers, which you see come from time to time, issues with the executive committee or personnel issues around products. You know, issues around financial wrongdoing, scandals. I mean, it's, you know, there are some salacious sort of avenues we've gone down on behalf of clients. They're all different. But at the end of the day, when we meet with folks, you know, the first thing we say when it relates to crisis is the best time to come up with a crisis plan is before a crisis happens. Because when the crisis happens, all hell breaks loose. people's emotions are running high, adrenaline is running a little bit high, maybe their focus is a little bit off, and we can't blueprint a rebuttal book for every single potential scenario, but we can get certain processes in place in terms of if something happens, here's the first protocol: contact the board, to take if it's a cyber security situation with clients and their information, what do we need to do? Do we have a law firm on staff we can go to? So certain things that, you know, the research, the homework, that God forbid you never need to, it's like that emergency, break glass if emergency, like you never want to break that glass, but if there's a fire, you want to know where it is or if that it even exists. So it's insurance in that way. It's meeting with companies, and depending on their structure and how big and how global or how small or how regional, every plan is different. But it's recognizing that businesses, there's a lot of value in them, and particularly in today's day and age, particularly with some of the issues related to cyber, there's a lot of risk involved. And particularly for RIAs, a lot of them are small businesses. You know, us being ourselves, I mean, we're a 12-person firm. We don't have a large IT infrastructure. We've got a very good one. But, I'm not a cybersecurity expert. If there were to be an issue, we need to partner with someone who is well equipped for that. Now we've done that. We've got our own crisis contingency plan in place. But it's a lot of upfront planning. It's a lot of brainstorming in terms of, okay, well, where could we be exposed? What could happen? What could be an issue? And if they were to happen, here are the most likely scenarios. What are some of the top considerations? We need to think about our clients' privacy. We need to think about our clients' privacy. We need to think about the reputation of the agency. I mean, there's so many things at play here. So we've got employees that we need to be focused on at all times. A lot of consideration. So it's upfront planning. It's getting things in place. It's getting a process laid out and mapped out. And I think most importantly is it gets the company onto this mindset that an emergency can happen at any moment, no matter how well planned, how solid morally and ethically a firm is. Issues can happen outside of their control. That is a strong, distinct reality. So the better equipped they are, God forbid it were to happen, the sooner they can get over it, the less reputational damage will be to their brand. And particularly within finance, you're dealing with people's monies, you're dealing with people's lifelong dreams and their retirement. These are very, very sensitive touch points that need to be treated as such.
Let's talk about internal communications, because you do have experience working with larger RIAs. What is an internal communication service that you provide, and how could even the smaller businesses learn from you?
In terms of internal communications?
Yes, sir.
So it's funny. Most, when people think about public relations, they think about being seen in the media. And, that's earned media. And that's certainly something it's a big focus of what we do. It's where we were sort of born out of. And, not to go on a tangent, but when we launched in 2012, the value of earned media was maybe at an all-time low. That was with the advent of, content marketing and a lot of these new social platforms coming out. And there was a lot of chatter about, we're all journalists and, no one needs the media anymore. And, certainly that mindset has changed. We saw an onslaught of content, and I think people really started to realize that there's too much content out there, too much bad content out there. It's too noisy. And hey, if I have a lot of faith in a particular, media organization, whether it's a new digital emerging company or a traditional one like the New York Times, and they're going to vet some news for me, that there's value there. So that's my PR earned tangent. But public relations is about changing and refining and enhancing the perception that an individual and organization has in the marketplace. And you can get that out through many ways. For the longest time, the most cost-effective way to change people's perception was through the media, because before digital, before the internet, before technology, that was the easiest way to do it across the country. It is still a phenomenal way of doing it. We think the value of earned has never been greater, but there's a lot of different ways to tell stories and get out there. And I think one of the ways is with internal communications with RIA's employees. I mean, these are people who accepted a job, who felt compelled enough by the mission of the RIA, whether it's a small two-person or five-person firm or a large, growing, nationally recognized firm, that they want to align with. People want to make sure that the companies they work for have values that are sort of on the same page as theirs. So they're, I hate to use the word cheerleader, but they're the ultimate brand advocate. And what we encourage all of our clients and anyone in general is to not overlook that. We know you want to get out there and reach your clients, and we know you want to get out there and be seen by potential clients. But don't forget about the folks that are coming up into the office every single day doing the work, because they've got their own network. And if you treat them well, and if you keep them updated in terms of what's going on, and you welcome them into sort of the decision-making process of the company to the extent you can, that will increase the affinity they have for the company. And that helps with recruitment, that helps with retaining talent, which is an extraordinarily expensive thing in the wealth advisory space. I think it's natural. Look, if you're a client-facing business, you're always going to be focused on clients and prospect. But what we encourage clients to do is to not overlook the true heroes in the office every single day, because there's so much that they can do to sort of enhance that brand and amplify the messaging you're doing it. Internal comms is a way of keeping them in, sort of on the same page, making sure they feel, they're part of the team, they're up to speed of what's going on. And guess what? If they're engaged and they're passionate, they probably have some good killer ideas that if you give them the create the culture that they feel comfortable sharing it, you can implement those ideas. Some of the best success stories we've had from our team have been some, junior folks who we just mentored like crazy. And 3 years later, I mean, they're superheroes. Mm-hmm. It takes patience. But it's something that's absolutely critical.
I think financial services professionals really do miss the boat on the fact that a lot of the relationship isn't just with them. It is actually with the team, whether it's the person who's answering the phone and scheduling or the paraplanner, any of those sorts of things. If they're all on point with the brand message, it's going to be reinforced more fully. And that was the gold nugget for me today, Andrew. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because if there's one thing to pull from all of this, is if you have really good internal communications, if your team understands exactly who you are, what you do, why you do it, and why anybody cares, they're going to find places to say it. They're going to have opportunities with clients and prospects to reinforce that message. That is freaking brilliant. Okay, so we're getting kind of close on time here. What else? What should I have asked you, man? Like, I feel like I'm missing a whole bunch of stuff because you guys cover so much stuff. What else should I have highlighted that you do that's unique and different? Help me out.
Great. Well, public relations is a big thing. Content marketing is a big thing. And I think, getting back to one of maybe the first question you asked in terms of, what are some of the things that RAs aren't doing, need to do more of? And they need to embrace marketing. They need to, if they're a little bit nervous about it, or maybe if they're intimidated by it, there's so many options and resources out there, from outsourced part-time help to full-time staff to outsourcing into an agency such as yourself or such as ours, that they can do. There's so many ways that advisors can tell their story. We have worked with a few fantastic RIAs. The thing that makes them so fun to work on is all of them are different. They're offering the same thing. They're managing their clients' wealth. They're trying to preserve their spending capital and trying to pass on their values. These are all tremendous things, and it's great value that they bring. But when we meet with them, what gets us excited is when we hear about their backstory. Why did they get started in the industry? Was there something that happened? Was there a success story? Was there a really bad story? Getting through this, these are the things that when we're speaking with the media and we're trying to get a profile in a local paper, for example, or if we're trying to come up with a video series or something that really highlights the sort of the personality behind the phone, those are the things we're focusing on. We're not talking about the services per se. So those stories are absolutely critical. You can do that through content marketing. You can do that through public relations. You can do that through internal communications. The biggest thing we try to preach, and I know you do as well, is recognize that the value you bring to clients. Understand that there are more people out there who need that than there are service providers. I'm a big believer. There's a lot of room in this sandbox for you and us and competitors to play. I think there are far more brands that need help than there are service providers there to service them.
All men to that.
Exactly. But for RIAs, we think there's a big intimidation factor, particularly for smaller ones. They don't have the time. They don't know where to do it. Their to-do list is always and never ending. Why do we need another project? Obviously, we've seen some fantastic success stories. But, we've also seen with advisors getting out there, once they start to do this and they start to, have a little bit of fun with it, you kind of see them relax. You see that the stories open up a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it's no surprise. Their phones are ringing a little bit more. They're getting some more referrals. So, it's getting out there. It's networking. It's telling your story, understanding that you're not a fit for every single prospect and person you meet. But the more touch points you have, the more hands you're shaking, the more folks you're reaching on the various, digital platforms or on their phones. And assuming you're doing it in a way that represents your organization and you personally well, there's no downside there. If you can do that and reach that in digital marketing, it just amplifies that on steroids. I mean, it takes the day-to-day face-to-face interactions and networking, which is important, and really takes it to another level. And all of that comes down to just that soul story. Who is the advisor? What is he or she doing that's different? What makes them tick? What are they passionate about? People are looking to just work with folks who are similar to them, who are enjoyable to work with. And that all comes down to the advisor's story. And I think they don't recognize the value there, or they don't want to talk about themselves because it's always about the client. And there's a balance in everything in life, but particularly with marketing. Don't be humble. Get your story out there. Don't overpromise. Don't be something that you're not. Be true to yourself. It's all the things our parents told us growing up, and with good reason, because it's good advice.
Now, if somebody wants to engage you, what is the best way for them to reach out to you? If some of the things that you've said really connected with our audience, we want to make sure that they have a way to reach out to you and, sure, and engage your services. So how can they do that, Andrew?
So the best way would be either email or LinkedIn. I'm an absolute LinkedIn fanatic. Andrew Healy, you can find me there, our company page. Please follow us, connect, engage. If you're in New York, reach out through LinkedIn. My email address is andrew@waterandwallgroup.com. We're looking to network as much as possible. And even if we know going in that it's not going to be a potential immediate fit for us, or it's something that might not add value to the bottom line right away, that's fine. The more people within the RIA world that we meet with, even other competitors, folks like you, and there's a lot of overlap, but there's still a lot of room left for sort of networking, best practices, brainstorming, all of that. The more smart, engaged, fun people we meet with, the better. And if we can be of help to them in terms of pointing them in the right direction or giving them referrals, and then we never hear from them again, but they benefit from that referral or that action, that makes us feel good. It's a pay it forward model. There's a lot of people that are hustling and doing good, solid work. There's a good network of financial marketers and communicators and creatives. It really, once you sort of tap into it, you're amazed how big and wide this net is. And these folks are looking to work with fun people, do good work, have a good time, make some money. That doesn't sound so bad to me.
And it doesn't sound so bad to me either. And you're right. There are so many people out there who need the services that if everybody who needed it reached out, there's no way that your company, my company, any of the companies that we both know could handle that volume. And exactly. Really make sure it's personality, everybody. When you do want to engage a marketing, branding, messaging, PR company, do some interviews. Make sure that you're having that connection, because we know that we don't connect with everybody. And as you know that you don't connect with everybody, it's just, again, like you had said, with the RIAs, with their clients, there are certain clients they absolutely love, and there's other clients that they would fire in 2 seconds if they could. We want to make sure that we have a great relationship, and I know that you do too. So, Andrew, thank you so much for your thought leadership today, man. I can't wait to have you back on the show, because there's like 4 other things I want to talk to you about. We do live in a world of abundance. There's more than enough work to go around for everybody. And the goal here is for the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast is hopefully there'll be one other financial advisor, maybe 10, hopefully for you, who reaches out and says, I really liked that guy. Andrew Healy, just for some reason, something he said or how he said it really resonated with me. And I want to engage a marketing company, because we have to, as financial services professionals, marketers, do what we can to rise above the other noise. And that Wall Street advisor, that Main Street advisor, that RIA, no matter the size, needs to get their voice out. And by working with somebody like Water and Wall, you can get your voice out in a great way with a great message and in great medium. So, Andrew, thank you for being on the show.
Matt, this is awesome. Thanks so much. I had a blast.
All right. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. And if you know anybody who needs to hear this, make sure you share. It's super, super easy by clicking that share button. And if you have 2 seconds, give us a quick rating on iTunes. So for everybody at Water and Wall Group, Andrew Healy, and all of us here at Top Advisor Marketing, we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by iris.xyz. A platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at iris.xyz.